First of all, welcome to everyone. It's good to see you all, and new faces as well. It's good to see visitors in them. First of all, we bless you from His Word. And we expect no blessings to come from any but from Him. So we just need to have Him now and ask the Lord to study. Our Father, we thank you for your Word. And our God, we thank you for the Gospel, for our Saviour Jesus Christ. And we look to Him now for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to be reading in Psalm 32. I'll read the Psalm to some of the Bible to Psalm 32. This is called one of the penitent or penitentiary psalms. David, a really blessed man of God, confesses this psalm to you. And testifies to the blessing of the one who God forgives his sins. And we're going to get through it, and I want to take the thought of verse 7 and really speak on that, why it's in this psalm. I'll read it, starting in verse 1, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in his spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old, or grew old, through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture, or my vitality, is come unto the gripe of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me or surround me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Think of verse 7. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. So reading through that psalm, my thought was on the Lord as a refuge. The Lord as a hiding place. The Lord as a place of security. And that was the thought that was on my heart, and I was thinking of various places in Scripture. And you know, reading through that psalm, I could see that this thought was all through the psalm. If you take what it says in verse 7, the Lord is a hiding place, for you're safe in a hiding place, preserved in a hiding place, you're delivered in a hiding place. And you see it, these three thoughts throughout the psalm, so we're going to think of that tonight. But elsewhere in the scripture, showing you that it applies particularly and perfectly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, we read that the church, those who are came to trust in Christ and in God through Christ, we are hid with Christ in God. Hid with Christ in God. And Isaiah speaks very particularly about a man. A man shall be for a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest. A man shall be at a hiding place. And the Bible, being the root of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking about a very particular man, a man, a certain man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is a hiding place, hid with Christ and God are all those that trust in him. Now I want to look at David here. Thou art my hiding place. Now I've read these three thoughts down. The hiding place, thou shalt preserve me, thou shalt deliver me. That's what he's saying here. And I hope this doesn't sound too simplistic, but I thought of the Lord as being a hideout, our hiding place, our lookout, the one that preserves us, watches out for us, and our way out, the one who delivers us. So our hideout, our lookout, and our way out. But what was our hideout, our hiding place? Let's see what it says there. Thou art my hiding place. Very, very personal. Thou, the living God, art my hiding place. This is the man David. This is a psalm about defense from sin. And you read through the Old Testament, you read it way back in the Ten of the Kings, you read it very clearly there what David's sins were. David was by no means a perfect man. He had a heart like a dog. David lusted. David followed his lusts and committed very particular sins. You see that here. Blessed is the man whose transgression. What uprising of rebellion in the heart, transgression. Sin is the transgression of the law, the scripture says. It's more than just outward things. It's the transgression of the law. But uprising against the law in our hearts. When God says, thou shalt not. When you see an abat, I shall. When we drive down the road and we see a 20 mile an hour thing, if you're like me, you get frustrated. And you think, that's ridiculous. On that road. Transgression, uprising of the heart. Against that which is prescribed. God says, I shall be saved after, but I shall not. Transgression. Sin is the transgression of the Lord. Whose sin is covered? The actual practices. The outworking. The iniquity. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, nor the progression. See, sin bears fruit. It starts in the heart. It comes out and it works. And it continues. We have sin unto sin unto sin. And so I believe there's a progression here. And those first words of David in this psalm. But take that thought, thou art my hiding place. Look what David says as he continues. Blessed is the man. Sin is in view, but the sinner is in him. That's what you see here. Sin is, he mentions sin very clearly, transgression, sin, iniquity, the bear. God isn't saying, no, there's none of these things. Here they are written down in God's book. They are taking great note of. From the root to the outward thing, everything that comes from them. Sin is in view. God doesn't overlook sin. And every one of us here are sinners tonight, even the Christians. And if we say we have no sin, the scripture tells us we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have sin. Make no mistake about it. Sin is in view, but here, the thought of thou art my hiding place, to the man who has repented of his sin, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that man who lives for a hiding place. Only when I have recovered from the tempest. For those who come to him, Lord, sins are in view. And God tells us to watch our sins, to confess our sins, to take them up continually to him. Yet the sinner is hidden. So that David is saying, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And in whose spirit there is no guile. What does he mean himself here? He's speaking by inspiration. Blessed is he, the man. It's as if David is hidden. Thou art my hiding place. I'd just like to encourage you tonight, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin is marked. He knows it. You know it. It's there. God will not overlook your sin. But by grace, you can have your sin dealt with. So that your sin, go there. Though God knows all about it. That you might have a separate from you, as the scripture says, as far as east is from the west, and you'll find yourself in that man who is for a hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessing that David's speaking about. Blessed is the man. Blessed is he. Blessed is the man. Guilt's in you. There's sin, there's guilt. What does David say? When I get silence, my bone waxed old through my roaring all the day long. my wounds. The frame that holds us up. The very substance, the strength of our whole substance. Think of our body, we just have a flat style mush. A skeleton. My wounds grew old through my own eyes. Growing old, that's the process. That's the continuing to the process of sin. By one man sinning about the world and death by sin. Death comes by sin, and so did all the aging process by sin. My bones, the very framework of me, by which I stand up, was growing old and becoming within me. Why? Because of my roaring all the day long. Guilt, I was my hiding place. A hiding place from guilt. If our sins were written down or put on a big screen, and our face put beside them, and if you put your name there, every one of you, I'd put my name there, and to say, so-and-so did this on such a date, and so-and-so did that, in his heart, this is what he was doing, and his thoughts, this is what he was doing. All our sins are put there. And we would be smashed to pieces in our conscience. There'd be nothing we could do, we could put on a face. Inside, our bones would be growing old through the world. The guilt. Our conscience. But to the man who has come to Christ, those sinners in view, as far as east is from the west, separates them. And in Christ, we have that hiding place from the guilt of our guilty conscience also. When the accuser, the devil, sometimes other men, sometimes sadly even other believers, get wrong ideas and would throw darts. But when we are in Christ, our hiding place, not only has our sins been dealt with, so that we are safe from them, we are hidden from them, and our conscience and guilt is dealt with as well, so that in Christ we have a hiding place. When the accuser or anybody else comes along and puts a finger at things which may have been through in the past, or things which are through now, in Christ. Picture Christ standing or seated at the Father's right hand with nail prints in his hands, with an everlasting spear wound in his side. And the Bible says that all who have trusted in Christ are hid with Christ in God. There is every believer blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. There we are. For to accuse me, the accuser has to approach Christ. And has to point to one who is in Christ and say guilty. Brother and sister, there is no grounds for that. He comes against one who has borne my sins and his body upon the tree. He comes to one who bears the marks of the judgment of the wrath of God upon him for his sins. There he is. And there am I, and every believer in him. There is no question about that guilt. We are innocent. Through his innocence to be placed upon us. There is nothing that can stand. So it's a true hiding place. A hiding place, a sanctuary, a refuge from guilt, from conscience, from condemnation. You know the scripture says that there is therefore now no condemnation to the person who is in Christ. To them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Before it is died upon the cross, and for we have come to him for mercy. Thou art my hiding place. There is no judgment. Look what he says, goes on to speak beyond his guilt and beyond the condemnation he feels from without or from within. He said, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Somehow he felt this from the Lord. The Lord was putting his finger on his sin. Look what it says there about in verse 6, those that never come to him. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. There was a time when we must come to the Lord. The verse 60 says, for this shall everyone that is godly flee unto him, that is for the forgiveness of sin. For this shall every one that is God decree unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. And the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time for your sin to be dealt with. Now is the time when Christ stands as a man who has got a hiding place where you may come with your sins and come and be saved from your sins and may come and be preserved from your sins and be saved and protected against guilt and condemnation and judgment to come. Now is the time. For this shall everyone that is godly. This is what it is to be godly. Godliness isn't to be perfect. Godliness is to be one with an inclination toward God from sin which you surely have. Unto him. Thou art my hiding place. A hiding place from judgment. The judgment coming. There is that time when the floods of deep waters shall come. Judgment day will come. And if you've never come to Christ, then the scripture says, when that day comes, you shall not come. You shall not come near unto him in that day, because the day of grace will be over. Now, there he is, as a hiding place. The Lord hath hide out. How can this be effective? Repentance. What is repentance? It's a change of mind, a change of direction. You go my own way, and I've been accumulating sin. Again, written down in a book which all men are written down with an unlimited problem, almost unlimited number of sins. Sins of the thoughts, the heart, the words, the actions, even when I've tried to do my best, been taken wrong, other people have misunderstood me, or what? That's the fact with human nature. We can never be perfect. Repentance is coming from my way, does not work. To God's way, but God's work. And the Lord Jesus Christ says himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, but who by him you come to the Father? Did you come to the Father? So repentance, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in Christ, making him your confession. You know the scripture says that if a man will confess his mouth, and believe in his heart, confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, as the Lord from heaven lies. That's the Lord involved believing in his deity, that he came from above. That involves believing in his authority, that he has the right to rule me, he's my creator, my preserver, my judge, my deliverer. A man shall confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus as Lord, and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead. That involved believing in his death. He died why for sin. He rose again why to prove that God has justified all who believe in him through the shed blood which he spilled at the cross. Confession. That's how we are brought into this hiding place. And we can say, there is just on the way David did. Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. The Lord will look at the one who shall prepare us. What does he say? Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Now that poor man is preserved from the enemy. As he says, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. That's the media. When you get saved, the first thing you want to do is pray, Lord, never let me go back at me again. The first thing we know is we've been saved from sin. No matter what about the Lord at that stage, but he's the savior of sinners. We know how he relates to the negative things of us. He's the one who's taken our sins away. He's died for our sins. He rose again to justify a sinner. We know the negatives, how we relate to him, aren't we? And we know that that's all being taken away. And when we pray, Lord, as our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. So, he preserved us from the negatives, but it's more than that. He preserves us through sorrow. See this son here? He's blessed. And you know that word blessed is actually a word that's in the plural. And it means blessednesses. And it's been multiplied in our life. And you see it in these first couple of verses, transgression, sin, iniquity. So the blessedness is multiplied. But the Lord that God has given to this creation even when it goes wrong, it must follow that order. We reproduce whatever it is that we reproduce. Sin produces sin. But we come to Christ and we're justified. That reproductive order that God has created to set in motion continues. And as we were going multiplying our sins that way, when we come to Christ, our blessings are multiplied in the other direction. So that not only are we hiding Christ, but we are preserved, not only from the negatives, but preserved in all the blessednesses that He multiplies to us. As He multiplies blessing upon blessing upon blessing, and we can start to appreciate some of the blessings which we have in Christ, bless the whole spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These are preserved. They are kept, and they are there for us. They are our inheritance. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. And that's what the Lord does. He preserves. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 5 to 8, we're told to add to our faith. And there's a whole load that I'll read it over here. I've got the question mark, so I don't want to mess it up and try to quote it. Let me read this to you. And besides that, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that goodness. And to goodness, know, thank by faith, we believe in the Lord, and He's going to do that and that next thing for me. Well, add to that goodness. And the thought behind that in the original language is to provide. It's not add in the sense of you to, it's already provided for us. And the Lord is saying, come and take it. These uncertainable riches in Christ, come and take them. They're provided, just reach out and take them, they're yours for the taking. Add to your faith, goodness, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, written down in the Word of God, you just need to read and meditate on it. Add yet temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. For if these things are in you and abound, the Scripture says, you shall never be barren in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Christ Jesus. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. The good news is not that He just saves us from negatives. He adds to us and places upon us and provides for our abundant partaking. Every blessing that God has ordained for us to partake of, and we need only come and take them. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. The Lord is our leader. He's the one who's watching over all this. Watching over us that none of these negatives come back in, our hiding place, preserving us. Watching out for us that all the things He's given us, that none should rob them, rob us of them. That's what the Lord does. He's the good shepherd. And this is what you're called to if you're out of Christ tonight. You're called to riches which this world can never even write down in a book and tell you about them. This gospel message shouldn't be written by the mind of a man. Because it's a way outside the realm of man's thinking. Would you ever come up with someone else would die for your sins and that would be just and acceptable before God? Our thoughts about God are completely wrong. We never think of God as even imagining such a thing. Who would imagine that God would send His only begotten Son to die for His enemies? This is the gospel of God. God has taken away our sins. He has sent His Son to die for our sins, bearing the judgment of them in His own body upon the tree. And having paid the price, He rose again from the dead the third day. He ascended back to heaven after some days, and He's there now. And every believer has an inheritance in Him which is undefiled, incorruptible. And the Bible tells us that fadeth not away. What does that mean, fadeth not away? Preserved. The Lord is our leader, watching over everything is different. Our inheritance does not fade away. They are preserved in heaven for you who are kept preserved by the power of God for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. How did all that happen? How did we start the island, multiply the blessing, which God has provided? How did we have it? By faith, by using. And what does he say here, David? He goes on, and after he's spoken to the Lord, thou art my hiding place, appreciating what the Lord has done for him. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt comfort me about a song of deliverance. Lord, replied, I will instruct thee, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And what we read in verse 9 is basically that he's saying, don't be stubborn. Don't be foolish. Don't be of such a disposition that for me to speak to you and for you to obey what I say, that's going to go against your grain. That you've got to have you like a horse or a mule, some animal that won't be ruled but of its own heart, that needs to be pulled and tugged and directed at hearts or sometimes, or about to use them a horse as well. But don't be like that. How shall we add? How shall we multiply our blessings, which God deserves, which He provides for all of us? This is it. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way. Lord, what? The scriptures. God is saying, I will teach you from here, and you are not to be stubborn. You are to be guided by this word of God. You are to be led. And he will lead you into the blessings. That's how the Lord works. The Lord Jesus Christ never said when he called men to him, just believe and that's it. True saving faith is faith only. But true saving faith is put in other words in the scripture as obeying the gospel. When I know that he died for me, nobody ever had to tell me that Jesus Christ must be Lord in my life, because sometimes you hear Christians arguing among themselves and they try to nice doctrines and that there, and they try to pinpoint things and split here, and it's very uncomfortable. Anybody who has struck with the gospel that God came from heaven and died upon the cross for our sins and rose again and called us to Him, not anything else, to Himself. That part that he is on the mind is this: he's my Lord. He's my Savior, my Lord. There's no question about him ruling my life. He must rule it. And this is how he does it. I will instruct you and teach you in the way. And this is the answer to how God will multiply his blessings to us, to the knowledge of him as it is perfectly revealed in his word. So God is calling you not to be just saved, but to be kept safe. And him, the Lord my hiding place, to be preserved from trouble. He's making promises here, and his work. The truth that David confesses is for every person who trusts in Christ. And I can tell you from the scripture that since it is an abiding truth, you can expect this from God. That when you come to him, you'll have him as your hiding place. You'll have him as your preserver. You'll have him as the one who multiplies your blessings, so that David, like David, you could speak about the Lord as being your hiding place, the one who preserves you from trouble, and the one who surrounds you with songs of deliverance. And this last point, and we'll close up just in a few minutes. Thou shalt compass me about it with songs of deliverance. Opposite to the heart which is stubborn, the heart which is like a mule or a horse, dumb animal. It needs to have a bit put in its mouth. Because it doesn't receive the benefit just naturally. And what God is saying, it needs to be pulled that way, and tugged that way, and whipped that way, and goaded on that way. That won't just follow. So that's a picture we hear of God's people here described as sheep. The shepherd goes away out, and the sheep just follow. They follow why? Because they don't know the voice of strangers, they know the voice of the shepherd. And we hear his voice, and it's the good shepherd. That's he who laid down his life for us. That's the one who spoke to our hearts and told us exactly what we were, but also told you, look, I will also put away your sins. Like he did to David, thou shalt not die. I will also put away your sins, thou shalt not die. Because those who trust in Christ are in that man who is for a hiding place. And opposite to those who stubbornly need to be filled and loaded, we don't murmur, we rejoice. And the Lord is our way out. Now, a couple of wee thoughts on this. Thou shalt surround, compass me about the songs of deliverance. the Lord is there for you. You know, when temptations come to a Christian, or when sorrows come to a Christian, from all different kinds of directions, there's verses in the scripture that just remind us about what we have in the Lord. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. Praise, what praise? If you live in Christ, you'll have abundant praise. The one who's taken away my sins, the one who has borne my undergoing body on the tree, the one who sits at God's right hand, bearing the marks through which nobody can argue against. Praise. When I think of the things that swallow me and trouble me in the air, what my surprise. And I see abundant reason to praise. There in heaven tonight is a man, flesh and bone, and he glorified. He was in a grave. He came out the third day. He went there and sent the Holy Spirit, testifying to me of all that he has done for me. When I feel sorry for him, I just need to think of him, and I can praise, and the Spirit lifts. That's private, personal. But the Lord also called us, even in the congregation and in the fellowship of the saints, thou shalt surround me and compass me about the songs of deliverance. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, he even says in his word, speaking about the children that God has given to them, he says, in the congregation, I shall praise thee, I shall sing praises to thee in the midst of the congregation. Thou, God himself, thou shalt surround me with songs of deliverance. God sang songs. The Lord Jesus Christ sang hymns. And he sang hymns about what he has done. The Lord Jesus Christ sang the songs in the Old Testament when he was on the earth. Psalms that spoke about him. When he's in the congregation of saints, when we gather together in the Lord's moment, or in any of our gatherings, the Lord is there by his Spirit singing praise and leading in praise and teaching us how to praise. How often a Christian is sung a hymn with it, and it's just been words, if we're honest. We don't understand the hymn right of thought, and we're trying to make connections, and all of a sudden, something takes connects to something that's left us in God's word, and our hearts swell up, and look, we're in the Spirit of the Lord, praising, and truly Christ praising in us. He leads our praise. His voice sanctifies all our voices as we praise the God of heaven. And the Lord is our being. He gives us our new rest at different times as the saints gather together when the world has been closing in upon us. The one who and whom we're held and preserved, the one who preserves us from trouble. If we've had very extended times outside the church and haven't been the meetings of God's people, we find ourselves very, very weary. And that's why the Lord is ordained that we come to Christ. And that we also, when we come to Christ, be in fellowship, and steady fellowship, and a true congregation of his saints. And the gospel message is that God is calling you to fellowship with himself and with other believers, and that you should abide in himself and among other believers, where the Lord is pleased to bless. And it's a way out. And it's private and personal, and I don't need to wait until the Tuesday night meeting, I don't need to wait until the Sunday morning or the Sunday night. I could be hiding hands in my heart and praying them as I work. I could be going over them in my mind when I'm walking down the street and praising the Lord. It's a way out. Why? Because it's a way that works, no? Because of the reality of the presence of Jesus Christ, the one who prays us with his people. He's with us until the end. And the scripture tells us that ultimately, in the end, all his people will be with himself, will be glorified. And in heaven, saints are praising. And it's the greatest fulfillment of our deliverance. And there we are in glory with the Lord, perfected. Brothers and sisters, every one of us are far from what we ought to be. But every one of us that trusts in Christ are hidden in Christ. Christ preserves us. Christ is our deliverer. But continue to trust. And if you're outside of Christ, all that has been said here by David, which applies to every believer, which is all at our disposal in abundance, God offers you When you reject Jesus Christ, you are rejecting every blessing that can ever be offered to anyone. When you fail to receive Christ, you fail to receive blessings that multiply and multiply through eternity. So I plead you tonight, come to the Lord, trust in the Lord, and let the Lord save you from all. And as most of you, I will pray with you there. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness, Lord, for your word again, and for the greatness of the blessings, only in Christ. Lord, they are all cut in hand. And we praise you tonight, Father, and we ask you for each one, that each one might, Lord, we continually reaping the blessings which are hidden in him. And Father, that you receive those that are out of Christ, Father, that we may come to love him and understand how great is your love toward us. We praise you now in his holy name, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.